on our docket is Christopher Wayne Butler versus Commonwealth. Good morning, Ms. Allen. How are you?
I am well, Your Honor. How are you?
Good, fine. Thank you. Would you like to reserve a portion of your 15 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. Please reserve 3 minutes for my rebuttal.
Right.
Thank you.
And you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, we're here today to consider the motion to suppress, Mr. Butler's motion to suppress that was overruled by Judge Warren at trial. It's conceded that Mr. Butler did indeed commit a criminal act when he drove. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you just a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Can Butler raise Durbin's Fourth Amendment constitutional right?
I believe he does have a Fourth Amendment constitutional right. If you read under my understanding of Brendlin, he was seized as a result of an unconstitutional stop of Ms. Durbin.
But isn't the Fourth Amendment a personal right?
The Fourth Amendment is indeed a personal right. However, you do have, he was lawfully in a vehicle that mm-hmm. he was allowed to be in. Ms. Durbin was lawfully driving down the public way mm-hmm. in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and it is conceded by the Commonwealth, by Deputy Nice, that there was no traffic infraction committed. Indeed, he had no reason at all to pull her over or seize her.
Okay, so it's the seizure of which your client complains, not the stop.
Correct, Your Honor. I think if we need to parse that out, you are correct. It is the seizure of Ms. Durbin's vehicle at her home, even though she committed no crime whatsoever. And
okay.
I believe it was conceded by the Commonwealth at trial through their witnesses that the only reason why she was seized...
Well, I have no doubt...
Yes, sir?
...that Durbin can raise it. My question is, can Butler raise it?
I believe...
And why?
Mr. Butler's contention is that this was an illegal traffic stop. This
okay.
was illegal in toto because there was no reason at all for this traffic stop.
All right,
stop.
I understand that.
And as a passenger in the vehicle, he does have...
That's my
I would
question.
Understand it, a subrogated Fourth
yeah,
Amendment
does
right
he have
to
standing?
The driver. I believe he does, Your Honor. I think if he would... have standing to assert a Fourth Amendment claim.
Somebody else's Fourth Amendment claim.
It would be a Fourth Amendment claim that he is subject to being seized as a passenger in the vehicle. He doesn't have perhaps the ability to go anywhere, to leave the scene. Of course he has to have some Fourth Amendment right as a passenger. If it were the case, Your Honor, that Deputy Crawford, who actually observed the illegal conduct of driving on a suspended license, if it were the case that Deputy Crawford went knocking on his door or knocking on Ms. Durbin's car and said, with an arrest warrant, perhaps, or maybe even under the authority of being able to issue a summons, maybe we wouldn't be here today. However, that's not what happened. What happened was the illegal conduct happened.
Well, in answer to my question, I don't want to waste too much mm-hmm. of your time. You claim that a passenger in a car has a Fourth Amendment right if the driver is illegally stopped. Is that what it boils down to?
I believe it, yes, Your Honor. I believe
okay.
there is a Fourth Amendment right that a passenger does have a right to assert under the Fourth Amendment when the driver of the vehicle is illegally seized.
Okay.
And I believe it is, it has...
You got a case that says that? Since you've conceded the Fourth Amendment is a personal right.
The Fourth Amendment is, if you don't have the right to assert a Fourth Amendment privilege when you are a passenger in the vehicle and the driver is illegally seized, you are pretty much at the whim of law enforcement. You are then allowing law enforcement to stop a legal a person who is driving legally down the common the
but if
road
they have
the
a
common,
passenger
yes,
in their vehicle who has been observed breaking the law,
mm-hmm.
why can't you stop the vehicle even though the driver has done nothing wrong because they've got a passenger who needs to be arrested or at least have inquiry made as to whether he had just broken the law.
Your Honor, I understand your question. In this case, what we have is he was observed committing an illegal act of driving on a suspended license. For whatever reason, Deputy Crawford allowed that to go. He didn't arrest Mr. Butler at that time, at that moment. Instead, that criminal act was observed by law enforcement and just let go. Mr. Butler then,
well, he got in the car later, with her. He apparently, Deputy Crawford thought he was going to get ready to drive his own car away from
They wanted to catch him in his own vehicle. We understand this. We know what really was going on.
So
with
he gets
Crawford.
It. He very shrewdly gets in the car with Ms. Durbin.
Correct.
And so, why can't Deputy Crawford then call Deputy Nice and say, okay, I saw him driving, and I know he's under a suspended license. Go ahead and stop it. Go ahead and stop the vehicle so we can inquire as to
Mr. Butler was not committing an illegal act when he got into Ms. Durbin's vehicle.
So you can't even stop her vehicle?
No.
Then why?
We are talking about a police team approach then, I think, if we're going down this road. Driving on a suspended license is a single, discrete crime.
So you basically, your argument is if you get in the car with somebody else, as long as they keep driving and they don't break the law, you can't ever stop that vehicle. You've got to find out wherever the passenger ends up and gets out of the vehicle. That's where you can then question him.
Yes, sir.
But not before. So if she drove from here to, Alaska,
there would be an outstanding warrant for Mr. Butler for driving on a suspended license. Deputy Crawford had the absolute right. Absolute right to seek an arrest warrant or issue a summons. He indeed did. If he had an arrest warrant, he could have arrested Mr. Butler, perhaps even in Ms. Durbin's, as soon as they pulled off into Ms. Durbin's driveway, with a valid arrest warrant, Deputy Crawford could have arrested Mr. Butler. There was no arrest warrant issued. There was no arrest warrant sought. There wasn't a search warrant. There wasn't even a summons issued by Deputy Crawford.
So once the officer, your argument is once the officer views it, if that person gets in another vehicle, there's nothing really he can do about it as long as he stays in the other vehicle, other than go get an arrest warrant and sort of wait for it.
The vehicle to stop. That is constitutional right there. The scheme that you have just outlined is the constitutional procedure. There is a single discrete act. This is not driving on a suspended license is not a continuing crime. It's not like grand larceny. This is a single discrete act. It happened when it happened. It happened and then it's over. Then Mr. Butler acted lawfully. At that time,
there are a lot of crimes that are felonies that happen and then they're over. But so you wouldn't argue that if they had seen him rob someone but he got away, and now they see him in the car with Ms. Durbin, they can't stop him, can't stop the car to get someone who had been witnessed by an officer committing armed robbery, right?
If Mr. Butler went into that convenience store, for example, and committed armed robbery and then was seen getting in the vehicle with Ms. Durbin, I think the Commonwealth would then be in a much better position to say Ms. Durbin is there maybe as a participant in the crime, and they would have a reasonable, articulable suspicion to then pull her over and ask and make inquiry about what her role is in that particular armed robbery. We don't have that here. Ms. Durbin arrived to pick up Mr. Butler, perhaps because Mr. Butler, we don't know, we never asked, the Commonwealth didn't elicit the evidence, nor did we put any on, about why it is Mr. Butler got into Ms. Durbin's vehicle. It was simply he got into Ms. Durbin's vehicle, who was lawfully passing the roads of the Commonwealth, and was seized after he committed this act. And we concede that he committed this driving on suspended act. Yes, sir.
If a state trooper without constitutional justification pulls over a Greyhound bus, got 75 people in it, have the Fourth Amendment rights of all those 75 people been violated? Everybody on the bus?
It would depend on whether or not the trooper pulled this bus over.
Without constitutional
under
justification.
Under some sort of violation, was there?
No. So all 75 people on the bus, their constitutional rights have been violated.
It would seem to me, Your Honor, that that would, with no purpose whatsoever, no reason to be
I'm assuming
molested by
an unconstitutional stop.
It is unconstitutional. That is unreasonable. There is no reason to pull somebody over.
I'm stipulating
and
that. I just want to know if all 75 people's rights have been violated, all the passengers.
I would, yes, Your Honor.
Okay,
with
thank
no
you.
Reason whatsoever, I believe, yes, they have been.
Okay.
If we are going down the road of we are lawfully passing the roads of the Commonwealth, and just because, and it was actually stated in the testimony, because you are Chris Butler, that we pulled you over because of your passenger. That is why Ms. Durbin was stopped, because that is your passenger. You were seized because of who your passenger is. Your Honor, we are now allowing law enforcement to, without any basis whatsoever, without any way, any justification, just because of who you are, because this, in this case, it was Chris Butler, and as Deputy Nice did testify, he did state to Ms. Durbin, we stopped you because of who your passenger
is. Suppose Mr. Butler was an escapee from jail.
Yes, sir.
Exactly the same circumstance. They see him get in the car. They can't pull over the car?
And I think we have a different circumstance. I think then, as Judge Beals scenario pointed out, perhaps the police would then have the authority or the right to make some inquiry as to what Ms. Durbin's role would have been. He's an escapee. This is a continuing crime. This driving on suspended is not a continuing crime. It's a single discrete act. Ms. Durbin would, under your scenario, if you were an escapee, Ms. Durbin, why is it you have Mr. Butler here? He's an escapee. Well, maybe Ms. Durbin knew that. Maybe she didn't. Maybe, I don't know. But that's not what
we
all
know
here.
Why he called for Ms. Durbin to come get him.
Because she was the fiancé, or is, presumably still is. This was quite some time ago. He was the fiancé of a cousin.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Let's not play Judge Haley. We know why. He saw Deputy Crawford, and he knew that he was going to get pulled over. We can suppose this, and we can surmise this. Or maybe he had a flush of conscience and decided he was no longer going to commit illegal acts and drive with a suspended
license.
That's
probably the case.
Of course it is, Your Honor. And I'm happy to believe that, just like you are. But I think what we have here is...
And I just want to let you know, yes, you're going into your rebuttal time, so you can continue or reserve.
I will let Mr. Chandler take over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Chris Chandler for the Commonwealth. Make a few quick points, then I'd be willing to rest on my brief. First of all, as to the question as of whether Mr. Butler can assert his Fourth Amendment rights not to be unreasonably seized under the Fourth Amendment as a result of this stop, I think the case law that opposing counsel is relying upon does support the contention that he can challenge the reason of whether or not the stop was reasonable from his perspective. However, I don't think that that case law goes further and says that he can assert the reasonableness of the stop from the driver's perspective, which is, I think, where some of the confusion is coming from in this case. So I think that's the important distinction. I also do think that, as kind of a side point, Ms. Durbin's constitutional rights were not violated. There's a case, Alston versus Commonwealth, which says that if the officers have reasonable suspicion that the passenger of a vehicle is involved in criminal activity, they can stop that vehicle to investigate, and the driver's constitutional rights would not have been violated in that circumstance. And in Alston, the driver actually became the appellant, and so he was asserting his own constitutional rights not to be stopped, and that was the outcome in that case. Secondly, I'll also say that since Atwater versus City of Lago Visto, the Supreme Court's decision in 2000, you do not need an arrest warrant to arrest for a misdemeanor. And Virginia courts have repeatedly held in Penn versus Commonwealth and in Thompson versus Commonwealth that an officer can make an arrest based on probable cause to believe that individual committed a crime. And even if that crime is not committed in that officer's presence, it is still constitutionally permissible for that officer to make that arrest. And as a result, any evidence recovered as a result of the arrest should not be suppressed. So I would argue that that is what happened here. The officers had probable cause, even though the crime did not occur within Deputy Nice's presence. He was still constitutionally permitted to make that stop.
Can I ask you on a related question? Does it matter that Ms. Durbin, because everyone seems to concede Ms. Durbin hadn't committed any sort of infraction, she was driving perfectly well. Does it matter that Ms. Durbin, as the driver of the vehicle that the police stopped, which belonged to her boyfriend, I gather, told the police they could not search it?
In this case, I don't think it matters. And well,
why is that? Because he gives permission, I guess, at that point to search himself or his duffel bag,
right.
And his duffel bag.
Right.
But she says you can't search my car.
Like, I guess I should clarify my answer. For purposes of this appeal, it does not matter because the scope of the search was not challenged at trial or on appeal. What was challenged was the constitutionality of the stop itself. And then from there, the argument was that because the stop itself was unconstitutional, any evidence recovered as a result should be suppressed. So the argument that the scope of the search did not extend to the center console was not preserved below and shouldn't be considered on appeal under Rule 5A18.
Excuse me.
I could separately make an argument on that point that Mr. Butler would not have standing or would not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in the center console of a vehicle that belonged to his cousin. He had no right to exclude the cousin's girlfriend or the cousin himself from going into that center console to see what was in there, since it wasn't even Mr. Butler's car. So I think he has a standing problem on the merits, but just in terms of preserving the issue for appeal, which is a threshold question, I don't think that question is properly before the court here today. So that would be my argument as to that point. I would also point out, I did make an alternative argument on the reasonable suspicion grounds that if the court were for some reason to find that there wasn't probable cause here, which I think there was, that there was at least reasonable suspicion. And under the court's analysis in DePriest, the way that the officers handled it in this case was perfectly permissible under Terry. I will make one minor correction to the record, and it's actually a correction to my own brief. So I'm happy to make that very minor correction. On the bottom of page 10 of my brief, I argued that Deputy Nice saw Mr. Butler leave the gas station. It was actually Deputy Baltimore who observed him leave the gas station and then radioed that information to Deputy Nice. So I don't think it changes the probable cause or the reasonable suspicion analysis. I just did want to point that out. And that's on page 43 of the appendix.
The last line of page 10
of my brief, correct. So page 43 of the appendix makes clear that Deputy Baltimore actually observed Deputy Nice or Butler leave the gas station, radioed that to Deputy Nice. And based on that information and based on Deputy Nice's the information he received from Deputy Crawford that he had been seen driving on a revoked license, based on Deputy Nice's own knowledge that Mr. Butler did not have a valid license to drive, those were the bases under which Deputy Nice was justified and had probable cause to make the stop.
Mr. Chandeville, can I ask you about Penn?
Yes.
It dealt with an arrest, did it not, in Penn, and the argument there that the arrest was invalid?
Correct. Ultimately, an
arrest
was made.
Here, the argument is that the stop was not valid. So does that make a difference, given that we're talking about a stop as opposed to an arrest?
I don't think it makes a difference in Mr. Butler's favor, because a stop, which has not yet completely resulted in arrest, is less of an intrusion than a full-blown arrest. So the fact that the officers in this case did a little bit less than perhaps they could have done constitutionally would not help Mr. Butler's case any in the government's position. That would be my response to that. Finally, on the second assignment of error as to the constructive possession of the pill bottle in the center console, I'll just say really briefly that this is one of the more clear cases of constructive possession that I have seen. The pill bottle was in the center console within arm's reach of the defendant. The defendant's name was on the prescription pill bottle. The prescription was for Adderall, and when the officer looked inside the pill bottle, there was Adderall in the pill bottle. And then the defendant admitted that he knew that the pills were morphine inside, so he knew he had knowledge of what was in the pill bottle. And then finally, the defense's own witness, Ms. Durbin, testified when she was asked, well, how do you think that pill bottle got in the center console? She said, well, maybe Mr. Butler put it there when I was interacting with the officers. So all of those things combined, I think, lead to the conclusion that he had dominion and control of that pill bottle, and he was aware of the character and the presence of of the narcotics in the pill bottle, and specifically the fact that the pills had still contained his prescribed medication, I think sets us apart from maybe a case where it was an empty pill bottle that just had morphine in it, because this is a pill bottle with his own medication that he would have been expected to still have on his person. Ms. Durbin actually testified that he had a practice of carrying prescribed medication on his person, which further supports the inference that he did have dominion control of his pill bottle and was aware of its contents. So for all those reasons, I would ask the court to affirm. Unless there are any further questions, I'm happy to rest on my brief.
Any further questions?
I have none. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Chairman. Ms. Allen, you have your 3 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I think in this case we have the deputies hoping to find Mr. Butler in possession of something more than driving on a suspended license, and they wanted to catch him in the act of doing something else, which would have perhaps been on a more solid footing had Deputy Crawford acted when he saw Mr. Butler commit the illegal act of driving on a suspended license and then lawfully seize Mr. Butler at that time. Instead, what law enforcement did was stand back, watch him commit an illegal act, discontinue the illegal act, and with no justification whatsoever, seize Mr. Butler at some later time at a private home with the show of force, with several deputies, then at night in a private driveway, then ask Mr. Butler whether or not we can search. That's not a voluntary consent at that point in time. We're not even meeting the constitutional standard of being in a public place. There's a reasonable articulable suspicion that there is criminal activity afoot. All we have is there was criminal activity.
I thought Mr. Butler volunteered to be searched.
Sir,
didn't he say, didn't the officer ask him, are you clean? And he said, yes, you can even search me.
That was after they had pulled into Ms. Durbin's driveway and after the deputies had surrounded her vehicle and they approached the vehicle. And this was at night, at a private home. That's not voluntary consent at that time.
Well, he wasn't even asked for consent. He just offered it. Am I correct on that?
Even if he did, that's not voluntary. You are in police custody.
How is it not voluntary when he's not even being asked?
Sir, he is surrounded by police at night in a private location. This isn't a case of we're approaching him for, you know, let's have a discussion in the public park. This is at night in a private driveway. She was very pregnant at the time, and she's standing beside a car. They've done nothing wrong, and here they are being surrounded by police.
Well, Miranda doesn't even protect someone who offers up their own statement, does it?
That Miranda would not protect someone if it's consensual. If we engage in a consensual, if I'm walking down the street and I'm surrounded by police, that's not consensual. I am now in custody.
Well, if you're under arrest and you simply make a statement without being asked a question, Miranda doesn't even protect you from that, does it?
If you are in custody, you have the right to be advised of Miranda. You have the right to not make any statements that are incriminating. In this case, Mr. Butler was seized by the police. Any statements he made were not voluntary. This was not pursuant to any authority whatsoever of Deputy Nice. This was pursuant to a radio dispatch from other deputies that they, at some earlier time, saw Mr. Butler committed an illegal act. They had no idea at the moment he was seized he was committing any illegal act whatsoever. They just approached him and seized him at night in a private driveway with a show of force and several deputies. Anything he said was not voluntary, and that would be our assertion, Your Honor, that
even if he's not asked a question, he can spill his guts and it's because he's seized, none of that's admissible?
Answer Judge Atlee's question and then your time is expired.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe any statements he made while he was seized by the police would not be admissible, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Allen. We will greet counsel, and then the next case on our docket is Osvedan versus Osvedan.